What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Mokey Show. It is me, Mike Lenz, a.k.a. Big Mokey, a.k.a. Mike Titta. I don't know where I got that from. I just kind of just made that up because, yeah, people self-proclaim stuff a lot. Hey, check it. Today is a good day. I have a special guest on my podcast. It's my sister, my younger sister, but older than me and soul-wise. Our souls, she's much older and has a much bigger forehead than I do. But with no introduction, here is Elisha Dion, a.k.a. Nene, a.k.a. was it Tweety Bird?
Leechy Low.
Leechy Low. There it is. There it is. How you doing, sis?
I am a little bothered.
Why?
Because my head is not that big.
And you know what? Somebody actually complimented me on my forehead the other day. They were like, they were joking around, but they were like, if we ever have a baby, I hope their forehead isn't as big as yours. I was like, huh, I've never gotten that before.
Yeah, your forehead's not big, but your head is definitely big.
I do got a big head.
You do.
I got big heads. little Drake action.
Stomach is sick.
Drake action. I already talked about that. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, today's today's focus for a little bit is going to be on attention behavior and narcissistic behavior. Now, before I ask my sister her thoughts and things like that, I got a couple of I got a list of what exactly those things are. Let me pull it up really fast. And really quick. Okay, so examples of attention-seeking behavior. All right, this person, you'll have a personality of fishing for compliments, exaggerating your story, purposely being argumentative, seeking sympathy. Pretending they don't do something, pretending they have a special skill, excessive posting on social media, consistently taking over the conversation, being optimistic. I can't say that word. Help me out. Optimistic. At the expense of others. Now, we're going to start on this. Now reading some of these, I feel like, you know, everybody has a little bit of attention seeking and narcissism, depending on like your levels of anger and your angers of wanting to, you know, get back at somebody, because we're all human. We all do it. The key thing is to actually know it's happening. Like, know yourself. Know the tools, like, okay, what can I do to stop this? Because it's bothering me. I don't want to get back at this person, blah, 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 blah. But for me, for example, I would say, yeah, I'm going to be honest, maybe seeking sympathy. Because I feel like I'm always forgotten about. There are times where people wished me dead. There are times where people forgot to pick me up from work. Plenty of times, a lot of times, actually. And yeah, and maybe purposely argumentative. That's me. And that's me being straight up, because I can sit here and say not everybody's perfect. And if you sit there and say, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't have any of these things, you a lie. You a lie, you a lie, you a lie. All right, sis, what do you think?
I think you called me on this podcast because you think that I am attention seeking and a narcissist.
No, not at all.
No, I'm just kidding.
that's both.
No, I'm just kidding, literally. I honestly was ready for this podcast about the topics, because I feel like you feel. I definitely think that everybody has signs and traits of attention-seeking and narcissistic personality traits. I definitely feel that way. We deal with it every day, especially grown-ups going into a workplace. You deal with people with these types of traits. And it's once you have been the attention seeker, or once you have been the narcissistic person, it is easy for you to look at somebody and recognize these traits. Mm-hmm. And you can also look at the people that are, how can I say, pacifying these traits. So,
oh, definitely.
I will start by saying I used to have a lot of these traits. It took me a lot of growing to come out of these traits. So, yes, I do think attention seekers, even at our big age, a lot of people still have it, whether it be they see somebody getting the attention they want, so they try to step over this person and try to make their voice be louder and be heard when everybody's just looking at you like, be quiet. You know, we all heard the saying, the loudest in the room is normally the weakest in the room. So that's attention seeking right there. So that's what we're talking about right now, right? No narcissistic stuff, attention seeking.
Yeah, right now it's just, and then we'll move on to narcissistic behavior. Do you have an example of somebody proclaiming that you yourself are an attention seeker? Do you have a story on that? Like for me, for example, excuse me, at work, there's a lady, she doesn't work there anymore. I went into her office to say, you know, goodbye, you know, cause she was going to go on and do some other endeavors. And, she goes, I dare you not to respond to anybody that says hello or hi to you, because all you do is seek attention. I'm like, well, I'm not really seeking like approvals from others. I did before. I had a trigger like where, or a trait where, I had to seek people's approval. And I know you understand why I do, because you've seen how we grew up. You know, we never got that, you know, let's be honest, we never really got that, like, you know, approval. You know what I mean? Maybe here and there we did, but, you know, I'm not speaking negative on our past life.
Right.
I'm just speaking on, like, the traits that I came up with, like, that caused my mental depression and all that stuff. But I really disagree with that lady. But you said something earlier about the loudest in the room being the weakest. You know, I could say for myself, anytime I start a new place, I'm always like, you know, I break the ice by being goofy, silly, singing, just being like a goofball. And nobody really, really actually knows the real me, like my seriousness, my dedication to things that I love, and things like that. So I thought about it, and she has another friend that's actually my friend as well. And she said the other day, yeah, you're just seeking attention. And I'm like, not really, because this is where I got the idea for the podcast.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so what I have to say to that is, if you go in and you're already this person, who is she to say that you're seeking attention by you being who you are?
Yeah, exactly. But
so when I say the loudest in the room is the weakest in the room, I don't mean that per se. If you're the type of person that walks into a room and you're like, hey, good morning, like, how are you doing, and cracking jokes and stuff, I'm definitely 100% that way. And that's my personality. Like, I don't want to go into work and people feel energy. I don't want to go into work and walk in and, hi, don't talk to me. Like, no, like, who wants to work with somebody like that? So because exactly. I'm being positive, because I'm being positive, I'm speaking to you because I want to make sure that I have a good day. And I'm speaking to you to make sure, you know, like, I see you. Good morning. I hope you have a good day, too. Like, that's not attention seeking. Not in my book. That's not.
Yeah, same here. And that's something that I actually, you know, to be honest, I gave up explaining that. But, you know, it's a whole nother world from, you know, just mannerisms from Arizona and Texas. And the proof is in the pudding. We picked up a new we picked up a new CEO, and he's coming out of he's coming out of Oklahoma, but he's Native American too. But his mannerisms are Southern like ours,
right?
And he saw the differences, and I was so happy because I got to sat in that meeting because he wanted to do a meet and greet with each department. I sat there, and I was like so happy. And I told him, I said, you know what? Thank you so much, because it's so hard being who I want to be, like just myself, because people expect me to be a certain way like them, because this is how they grew up. This is where they're from. So, and I told him, I was like, a lot of people here don't understand me because they didn't grow up like I grew up. They didn't have friends like I had. Like I forgot the word already. My mind's gone. The culture is just different. And so their definition, like people here, their definition of attention seeking is a lot different, extremely different than ours. So since I gave an example, can you give us an example of when somebody told you that you're attention seeking, and have you ever told somebody that, you know, hey, in some kind of form that they're being attention seekers?
So I got three different examples. I have an example of when I was an attention seeker. I have an example of when somebody thought that I was attention seeking and I wasn't. And I also have an example of an actual attention seeker. And I'm going to use myself in a work environment for all three examples.
Okay.
So for me, being an attention seeker, this is the younger me. This is when I'm just getting out in the world and really like looking for approval. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not like a lot of people. Like, I'm more inside. There's people that are, or females, should I say, they dress up nice. They get their hair done all the time. They get their nails done. And I'm not a part of that crowd. I'm more basic is what they used to call me. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that now. But back in the day, that used to hurt me because what do y'all mean when y'all say basic? I don't know what that means. You know what I'm saying? So, but back in the day, I would say my attention seeking was somebody could tell a story and they'll be like, oh, hey, I was at the park the other day and I was with my kids and Leroy found a red ball and he threw it to me and I caught it. Like, we just had a good time when we were at the park. So my way of getting the attention towards me was, oh, yeah, last week I went to the park, too, and can you believe my kid found the ball, too? And he didn't throw it to me, but he threw it to his brother. Like, just changing the situation to make it, they started this conversation. This conversation is about them, but now I'm making the conversation about me. So instead of me listening to their story and being like, oh, really? Like, what color was the ball? Like, is he a good thrower? Like, instead of making the conversation about them, mm-hmm. I'm just completely switching the situation up and making it completely about me now. Like, I don't care about your story. Let me tell you how your story matches my story. And we're going to talk about my story. Mm-hmm. So I used to be real bad with that. And for some reason, I don't know if it's because we're all more alike than we know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can talk to me and tell me their stories. And I can relate to almost every single body that talks to me. And it's like, I can switch it up. And a lot of times, me not knowing that was attention seeking, but it really was. So mm-hmm. now I know, give that person their moment. Like, you didn't think to start telling your story. They wanted to tell you theirs. So
right.
Just listen to them and let them have their time, right?
Yeah.
So that was me being an attention seeker.
Mm-hmm.
The next part that I was going to talk about was somebody thinking that I'm seeking attention when I'm not. Basically, just like you said, this woman was telling you that you were an attention seeker by you being who you are.
Right.
So I am a Capricorn. I don't know if a lot of people know what that means, but I am very big about it. Capricorns are hard workers. We are very serious about our work. Work. No matter what, work is everything to us. And half the time, it's not even about the money. It's just about doing good and being, I would say, being recognized. But It's not even too much about being recognized. It's just about making sure you do your work correctly. So always been like that. So I've worked for a company where I'm just doing what I do. I am a contact person for a lot of people. So when they're dealing with people in my team that's not me, and they experience an issue with this person, they would come to me and be like, hey, Alicia, I dispatched this, such and such dispatched this truck for me. My truck has been on location for 2 hours. And then when they finally get to the loader tells them that they're at the wrong facility. Can you please let me know where my truck is supposed to be? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do the, they know they can reach out to me because they know that I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm not just going to be okay with it. So I'm going to get to the bottom of it. So I'm going to search through my emails. I'm going to find where that truck needs to be. I'm going to let them know, hey, go ahead and send your truck over here. Well, the person that initially dispatched the truck is like, we like clashed heads all the time. And me and this person eventually ended up, this person ended up going to a different department. I stayed in my same department, thank God. But anyways, this person was just like always like, why are you always in everything? Like, you're literally everywhere. Like, he would be like, oh, you're so good. You know everything that's going on. But then I could take it as being very sarcastic. Yeah. And so it was not ever like me trying to step on anybody's toes. It was just me being me and people knowing that they could reach out to me because they know I'm going to get the job done.
Yeah.
And somebody feeling some kind of way about it.
Right. Just so, doing your job.
Yeah. So that person thought that I was attention seeking when I was just doing what I was supposed to do, mm-hmm. because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do.
Right.
So now I have another situation where I can point out somebody being an attention seeker. And this goes back to me saying, whenever I work, I pay attention to details. Mm-hmm. If something isn't right, whether it be with my team or with a team outside of me, everybody, I feel like people need to be held accountable.
Right.
Whether that's my team, whether that's a team that's working for us, whether that's me, I am very accountable. Like, so if I did something wrong, I'm going to say, dang, I messed up. Let me fix that. I apologize.
Right.
Right. So I expect that of other people. So when I come into a team and somebody's been with this company longer than I have, and they see like I am the go-to person, but they feel like because they've been there longer that they know more than somebody that's been there more short term. Mm-hmm. So whenever we have meetings, I can be talking about a topic, and this person completely starts talking over me when I'm talking. Like, I can't even finish a sentence because you're talking over me. Oh, I already tried that. Oh, I did that last year. Oh, we talked about this last year. Nothing happened. Like, no, that to me, that's attention seeking too, because you had every opportunity in the world to try to get this done before I got here. And now that I'm here, that you're saying that you tried to make these changes and these improvements within the company, but it didn't happen. So why did it not happen? Because you were not persistent. I'm persistent. I'm going to make sure if I feel like that it's right and it needs to be done, I'm going to get it done. Don't come into this meeting with me and try to overtalk me because you don't feel like you're the lead here.
Yeah.
Like if you feel like you're losing your seniority spot and somebody younger in the company is coming in and taking over. So I deal with that quite often.
Yeah.
Right now, actually, with some people. And before it would bother me, but it's just like now that I'm getting older and becoming more wiser, like I try to talk to them and like, hey, it's not a competition here. Like, I'm not trying to compete with you. We're good. Like, we can all learn from each other.
Right.
But I'm also not going to sit back and be quiet and hold my thoughts in the thinking that I'm going to hurt your feelings or hold back my good ideas because you should have came up with this first. No. So there are so many different scenarios when it comes to attention seeking and or people are haters. So right, right. if you're not seeking attention and they think that you're seeking attention, they're a hater.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically all it boils down to.
Yeah, exactly. And those are like three good examples, you know. Especially that last one, you know, I've always been the type where, you know, I'm always, especially when it's something that I love, you know, I'm a musician, but if there's somebody that's way younger but much more talented, I'm on it. I'm watching that dude or that girl, and I'm asking them questions. Like, I don't care, because I feel like I'm the best at what I do. And I'm not saying that I'm better than you, but I'm the best at what I do because I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to put my heart into it, you know. And then people hate on that when you succeed.
Yes, they do.
But before we move on, here is some examples of how to stop someone's attention-seeking behavior. Now, we're not really going to talk on it, but I'm going to read you the examples. Number one, reframe attention-seeking to connect-seeking. Yeah, that's weird. Number two, don't give them positive reinforcement. Pretty much this example saying, you know, ignore that dude. Ignore that shit. Ignore him. Put your nose in the air.
Yeah, you cannot. That's one thing about it, right?
Yeah. You can't.
They're looking for you to come off your hinges a little bit because they are bothered by you. They're intimidated by you.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're going to speak against it so you can come, you can step down your ladder just a little bit, mm-hmm. to the level that they're on. And so you can't do that.
Exactly. Number three, encourage them to seek therapy. You know, I believe everybody should seek therapy. And whatever therapy it may be, professional, you go one-on-one with somebody, you do something at the gym, you talk to your sister, you make a podcast, you make music, but seek some therapy. Number four, give honest communication without shame or judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but if people think that I am, they always pretty much either they fat shame me or they judge me. So it like, and that's every day. How about you?
If they do, I will say that they don't do it to my face. So.
Oh no, people I know, they do it straight up to my face. I'm like, oh. Yeah.
You know what? I won't lie. Today, I made a comment to somebody within my department, and I was like, "Hey, he's pretty short, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so my desk was pretty far away from the conference room, but I could see him. Writing on the board. So I made a comment in front of people and I was like, man, even from where I was sitting, you were tall enough for me to be able to see you. And I thought about it afterwards. I was like, maybe I should not have said that because I don't know how this person feels about their height. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You gotta be mindful about what you say sometimes. Sometimes we get too comfortable with people.
Yeah, and you just
and
forget.
We don't. Yeah. So I think I might need to reach out to this person and apologize, like, you know what, I'm sorry, because I don't know, as a man, you probably don't want people to talk about how short you are. We see, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I probably need to reach out to him and apologize.
Hey, it's like I always say now, God created it, I signed for it.
Right.
Let's see, teach them how to calm their mind. Oh man, yeah, meditation is great. Set examples and boundaries. And last one, set time for undivided attention. Now that works especially when you have a friend that has mental issues and stuff, that they're not really looking for attention, but they do want that affection. You know what
right.
I mean? And to hear from some people, just deal with it, you know, just keep moving, grow up and blah, blah, blah. Be a man. That's not right. Because everybody has a handicap, and that's just what it is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to a list of narcissism behavior. Some people call me a narcissist, but I don't think so. And I watched videos and read, like, different articles, and I'm like, man, I honestly, I'm not perfect, but I don't think there is... For me, like, I'm more of an attention seeker than a narcissist. My heart is too kind to be a narcissist.
But have you ever stopped and questioned yourself, like, Am I a narcissist?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, me too, definitely.
I definitely have.
So, and it's not fair for people to make you feel like that, especially if you're just a genuine person. But people will definitely try to make you feel like you're the narcissist for sure.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And you know the worst thing about it, the people that know that they are, those are the ones.
I don't think that true narcissists know that they are. I honestly, let you know what? Let's go through your list and then we'll get to talking about it.
All right, let's do it. grandeurs of sense of self importance, like somebody thinking they're, hey, I'm really important. Frequent fantasies about having or deserving, belief in superiority, needs admiration, entitlement, willing to exploit others, lack of empathy. I get that a lot from a lot of people. I feel like lack of empathy is like the biggest definition of narcissist. Frequent envy. That's the list.
Frequent envy. Yes.
Yeah.
I got a lot to say about this. How long is this podcast?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, how long does the podcast normally go for?
I usually try to make it like an hour or so.
Okay, cool.
Yes. I think the shortest podcast I made, sorry to cut you off. The shortest podcast I made was about probably 20 minutes, but it could be, a podcast can be 10 to 15 to 2 minutes to an hour. Yeah.
Right. Whew. So the narcissist, and you know what? Narcissists haven't, I didn't really too much hear about narcissists until I was in a narcissistic, in a relationship with somebody that was very narcissistic. And at the time, I didn't realize that they were narcissistic, right? I just thought, you know, they kind of threw a fishing line out into the ocean. They saw this little fish, me, swimming, looking for love. Mm. And I'm there by myself, and I'm just swimming, and they see this.
Mm-hmm.
And they know. They also, narcissists have a saving behavior, like, I'm going to try to save this person from what they, I know that they've been through a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to try to save them. And then so this person puts this worm on his hook. He throws his line out there. He reels me in. He's buying me watches. He's buying me purses. He's buying me shoes. This is before we're even together. And I've never experienced this kind of life before. So I'm just like, oh, he's so sweet. This is when I was younger, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, yeah, he's so sweet. He likes me so much. And so I'm literally like bragging to everybody about what this person is doing for me. And it's just like so great. And so when this person met me, this person knew exactly who I was. They knew exactly who I was, how I was. They knew I was goofy. They knew I liked to laugh. They knew how I dressed. They knew all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say this person did not show me that trait until probably close to a year into the relationship. So
right, that makes sense.
Before that, like, he is the savior. He is showing me everything perfect, like buying my kids stuff, being sweet to my kids, being sweet to me, taking me on trips, everything just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then one day it wasn't beautiful anymore. And then after that, it was never beautiful again. And so it got to a point to where I was in a trance, I would say. And once I fell victim to this narcissist, I was not Elisha anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I was, but I wasn't Elisha anymore. But I put myself in a position to become completely dependent on this person.
Yeah.
So, and this person knew that. So, we had daily routines. Anything outside that daily routine would throw my whole day off. The way that I dressed, the way that my hair would be, even down to the point to the way we would have sexual intercourse, everything was by a book, in his book. Yeah. Like, so I was never really comfortable. I just had to do everything he told me is what I felt like I had to do, because I got to a point where I saw this narcissistic side of this person, mm-hmm. and I'm scared. And I feel like if I don't do what he tells me to do, I'm going to be in trouble or whatever the case may be. And yeah. I know a lot of women, possibly men, are in the same situation. So
yeah,
it was just, it was really bad. At first, this person liked me coming around their family, because I engaged and had interaction and talked with them and laughed with them. And then later on down the line, oh, when they come over, don't say anything. Your laugh is stupid. Your teeth are big. It was always just something, right? And it's just like completely like just like knocking me down.
Right.
And it got to the point to when we finally broke up and split up and went our own ways, I did not know how to live life. Like, I was so confused. I was scared to leave this person because I was so used to the life that we had. Everything was routine. I didn't know if when I left this relationship, how I should do my hair, how I should dress, anything. I had to like start my whole life all over again. So whenever you're dealing with a narcissist, your whole life, it changes. And then when you're coming out of that narcissistic relationship, you have to try to figure out how to find yourself again. I literally would look back at old photos of me, and I would see me smiling so much, like just being me. And then I would look at pictures of when I was in that relationship, and you could tell I could look at myself, and I could see that I was sad. Like the teeth weren't showing anymore when I smiled. I wasn't happy anymore. Like Alicia was completely gone. Whoever this person is, have no idea who she is. So I'm not even going to lie. It took me years. When I say years, more than five, to get over everything that I went through in a narcissistic relationship. So
yeah,
you have to know how to be able to spot the signs of a narcissist. So what I would say is they are very wanting to be perfect. Right. So if they're not perfect, if nothing is perfect around them, they're stressed out. They are completely stressed out. Everything has to be perfect.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I would say they're very materialistic.
Yeah.
They want the best of everything.
Yeah.
And I would also say, let's see, what else is another sign of a narcissist? They'll put you down to make them feel higher.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, one of the quotes I'll never forget this person told me was, "I can't believe I'm with you. You're a Honda and I'm a BMW."
Hmm.
Like, you're going to tell me that I'm a Honda and you're a BMW. Like, okay. Like, okay, whatever. But yeah, they're very controlling of your body, how they want you to look,
yeah.
What you want to wear. They're just very controlling of everything. So
yeah, you know,
they're going to promise you the world and everything is going to look sweet and pretty until it doesn't anymore.
Right.
Yes.
You said something that made a lot of sense. I have somebody. Well, I'm not dating anybody, but I know somebody. They're a friend, and they're exactly like that. I have somebody like kind of there for me, help me out. You know, but I noticed those traits, and I actually didn't really know until I was coming across these articles that led to like the people who wrote it had these TikTok videos and I would go and they had these different signs of traits and I would compare, because I'm not just going to go listen to social media and not like really like, do my investigation on it. You know
right.
what I mean? But, this person that I know, oh my gosh, she is like, especially when, you ask them a question, like you ask them a question that's like the elephant in the room, they turn and run away from it. You know, they turn and run away from it. But this same person, same thing, like everything that you said, very materialistic, have the best of both worlds or whatever, whatnot. And this the same person, one of the same people that says, I like attention. But she's always, you know, posting herself, posting like selfies and stuff like that. And I asked her one time and she got so mad at me. I was like, does your husband follow you on social media? She goes, no, we don't touch each other's phones. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I wonder why.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, right. I wonder why. I was like, because, you know, she gets a lot of attention from the guys at work. She gets a lot of attention from, you know, friends around Flagstaff area. And if she doesn't get that attention, you know, she's not herself.
Right.
You know, and if she doesn't get her way, she's not herself. It's a really bad attitude. It's like narcissist to the T. So I definitely know, and I've seen like major traits of narcissism. You know, I can't say that I'm not one because I said I'm not earlier, but maybe to somebody, I am.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm not perfect, you know.
Right.
Of course, I was married a few times, twice. The first marriage, I asked for the divorce, and I couldn't see me living a long life being married to that lady. Just being honest, I'm not talking bad about her. She is the mother of my kids. We share kids together, and we both love our kids. Same thing with my second ex-wife. And that's the thing that sucks about me. I'm such an open book. I'll talk about it, and then like horrible people will throw it back in your face. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't know how to keep a relationship. You've been married twice. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, that's silly. But, you know, the thing is, you know, with the second one, everybody was shocked, you know, and so was I. But I wasn't sweet all the time. I wasn't, you know, I had a lot of problems that I didn't know I had. It was until after we separated and then I actually sought out counseling for myself. Started having tools and things like that for my behavior. And then, like, I saw some things, some traits of narcissism and then, like, trying to be in control, things like that, you know, because, you know, and I'm not going to blame our past because I did that before. I just blamed my actions on my past. You know, I got to be accountable for what I did. But it's like, tit for tat, you know. You know, the Bible says, "Grow, train your child as they should grow." You know, how are we trained? You know, fights and arguments, right?
Right.
So
a lot of stuff we literally learned as we were growing, and so I would say this person that was fishing for me knew that I still had a lot of learning to do.
Yeah.
And in a way, I'm not even going to lie. This person did kind of teach me a lot of stuff.
Right. Well, yeah.
He did definitely teach me a lot of stuff. So I will give him that. But that was like the pros and the cons of it. And
right.
Like you said, I would also say that maybe somebody would say that I had narcissistic personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in a situation to where I wasn't in a relationship with a certain somebody, but we were very close. And because we were very close, I would let this person know, hey, I don't think you should be doing this. I don't think you should be doing that. I don't think you should go there. I was kind of controlling, as this person would say.
Yeah.
But I would say I wasn't controlling. I was always looking out for their best interest, right?
Right.
So I don't know if that was like a controlling part of me was like narcissistic. But I feel like I was only looking out for your best interest, and in the end, I was right most of the time. So I don't know, like, trying to look out for somebody's best interest and telling them what they should and shouldn't do, is that narcissistic? Is that controlling?
I don't know.
Or is that loving?
Yeah, it's in somebody else's eyes and their mindset. That's narcissist. It's like, like I've heard something before. Let's say an example to me. To me, you're a narcissist, but to this person, you're the sweetest person in the world. You know what I mean? So it's like that for everybody. Some people look at me as a narcissist or a attention seeker, but in other people's eyes, you know, I'm the sweetest guy. You know,
right?
He's not those things. So it's just and it's crazy because it's almost like. Say like you get a Yelp review or a Google review say like you have a business and you get all these good reviews, and then that one thing is just like those that one person that says that you're that's what sticks the most.
Yeah. And that's just a way of life. Like everybody remember, I mean, you can do so many good things, and then you do one bad thing, you get arrested one time.
Oh, you're judged for life.
Oh, yeah, it's over for you. People are going to talk about that forever. Like, you can't let that down at all. So, yeah, it's like that. It is definitely like that.
Over here in Arizona, I'm sorry, I'll let you speak. Over here in Arizona, a lot of the women and some men, because the culture is so different, like what you touched on, if I got arrested for something and they found out about it, oh, I can't trust you because you done this. You might do it again. I know how you are. You're just going to do it again. I know how you are.
Yeah.
What do you mean you know how I am? I always tell people, what do you mean you know how I am? Are you Jesus? Are you God? Can you see my future?
That's literally like applying for a job and you don't get it because your background check doesn't come through. And it's funny. Let me tell you a quick story real fast. I know we're talking about attention seeking and narcissistic personality, but since we're talking about this, let me just speak on it real fast. Yeah,
that's cool.
People will definitely judge you by something that happened in your past. Back in January, I went to Virginia I was planning on living there, but stuff switched up and, you know, it didn't work out. My son was being deployed. I didn't want to be there by myself. So I ended up coming back to Texas. But while I was in Virginia, I've always been in logistics. I've always, for the past 13 years, I've been in logistics. So that's like my career. Well, I wanted to pick up a second job to be able to just survive. It's expensive. Life is expensive when you're out here by yourself, right?
Yeah.
So the second job that I was trying to pick up was at a hotel, and it was literally making, I think it was like less than $10 an hour or $10 an hour, something like that. Mind you, the job that I was currently working at, I was getting paid $25 an hour.
Yeah.
So I do have a petty theft on my record, and so it fell off 10 years. It was going to be 10 years in November of 2023. Mm-hmm. My bad. 10 years in 2023. So I applied for this hotel job, went through all this stuff, and they denied me to work there because I had theft on my record and it hadn't been 10 years yet. And I'm like, so y'all mean to tell me I can work a job that's making $25 an hour, but I can't work for you making $10 an hour because I have a theft on my records? So y'all don't want me sitting at the front desk in the hotel? Are y'all scared that I'm going to steal money out the register? Like, what is it?
Yeah, where a camera's probably beaming right at the till.
But my whole thing is, like, I'm literally working in a field that makes much more money.
Right.
And y'all won't accept me because of what I did in my past. And so people will definitely judge you off your past. And that's why I'm so adamant with my kids, like, man, be careful what y'all do, because what you do today is going to affect you tomorrow.
Right.
I love the fact that I have been through so much stuff. It hurt a lot for me to actually do these things and hurt myself, but to be able to learn later, like you said, like when we were growing up, we more so learned as we grew.
Yeah.
And that's what we're still doing. And that's no down talking on this our mom or anything like that. She didn't know. So
here
we are. We're all learning as we go. And so that's why anything that I have learned while growing, I try to instill in my kids, because it's very important for them to know for sure. So just take care of you. Do always make the best decision. If it don't seem right, don't do it. Period.
Right.
If you have a bad feeling in your gut about it, don't do it, because your intuition is real. Intuition is very, very real.
And definitely.
It's usually never leading you the wrong way.
Nope. You got to follow.
I want to tell you something.
What's up?
So you reached out to me yesterday about this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my brother reaches out to me yesterday. He's like, hey, sis, I'm going to do this podcast about attention seeking and narcissistic behavior. Would you like to join? I was like, hey, I can't do it today, but can we do it tomorrow? So I'm a dreamer. I dream. Everybody that knows me knows, like, I love to go to sleep because I dream. And it's like I go into this other reality that's not this reality. And I love to be there.
Right.
Most of the time. I hardly ever have bad dreams. Most of my dreams are good. And I remember a lot of them. So anyways, we had this conversation yesterday. So last night I dreamed, and it was on this topic. It was crazy as hell. It was crazy as hell. But I woke up this morning, I was like, dang. But it kind of took me through a lot of emotions, right? Because growing up, and there was some things that hurt me that was done to me. And I put a lot of blame on maybe people that it should not have been on.
Yeah.
And so my dream, let me tell y'all about my dream.
All right.
My dream is I'm very close to my kids.
Right.
I have four kids. We're very close. We talk pretty much almost every day, even though we're all in different areas of life.
Right.
Well, I have in my dream, I have this one son that I'm very, very, very close with. It's like, I would say this son is like my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's sending me these pictures of me doing odd things like hurting people or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending me all these pictures and then they're all with their dad. And I'm like, why is he sending me all this stuff? What is going on? And then so I call him. I was like, hey, why are you sending me all these pictures? And why are all these of me and why are they all bad? And he's like, oh, you're not even a good person. You made us feel like you were a good person. You're not a good person and all this other kind of stuff. And I can hear their dad talking in the background, talking mess about me.
Mm.
But I'm calm. I'm just curious, why are you doing this to me? And so, but I'm calm. So I'm not going to go into depth about the dream, but I will tell y'all I have been on a journey with God. Like, God is like my best friend now. Like, I love him. God is everything to me. I talk to him daily, multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. And what I've been learning from being in my Bible study and having a close relationship with God is to always be still and be calm and be peaceful about anything, even if it hurts you, to be still, mm-hmm. be calm. And so in my dream, all this stuff was happening to me. He's sending me all these pictures. He's sending them to everybody to show everybody that I'm a bad person. And in my dream, I'm just like real calm about the situation. I'm not mad. I'm just wondering why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I wake up and I'm like, this is the narcissistic kind of stuff that is happening. Like, did I do this to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
This is the attention seeking that I was doing. Did I do this to somebody and hurt them when they didn't deserve that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, but this person stays still because this person loved God. And I'm talking about my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, like, it's just crazy that you brought this to me yesterday, and I had this dream last night.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell everybody that's dealing with anything that is troubling them, if mm-hmm. they're dealing with somebody that's a narcissist, if you're dealing with somebody that's attention seeking, 9 times out of 10, a narcissist is attention seeking. So
yeah.
Get away from it quickly,
mm-hmm.
but also don't try to retaliate, because when you retaliate, you're playing in the you're on the playground with them. They want you there. They have you exactly where they want you. But be still. Like, know who God is. Know that with him, you're going to be okay. So if these people want to spread lies about you, if these people want to make you seem like a bad person to the entire world, like,
mm-hmm.
just be calm and be still and know that God is with you. And no matter what, even if these people are tarnishing your name,
Yeah.
Stand still, stand strong for who you are. You're going to be okay. So
yeah,
that is basically, I know I was like rambling on there in so many different parts, and I hope I didn't mess up the podcast. But...
No, not at all. It's a good word. It's a good word. Like some, yes, of it, some of it was for me. Question. You and your mom, of course, that's my mom too.
Right.
Is a relationship coming together again, or is it rocky, or was it how it was before?
Right. No.
This is just me asking as an interviewer, not as a brother.
Right.
Yeah.
So no. Honestly, the relationship with my mom was always pretty much rocky. I didn't have too much trust or faith in her as a mom and being her only daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was always not really where it should be. And mm-hmm. so, whenever I would confide in people that probably didn't even have my best interest at heart, mm-hmm. but some of them actually did,
yeah.
They would be like, you know, you only got one mom, like you need to forgive her. You need to get past that. You need to love her. Right.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, it's so easy for people to say that, like, just nah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like I just said previously, I have been on this journey trying to get to know God better, in my Bible very, very heavily. And my relationship with my mom since the beginning of 2024 has been great. Probably the best relationship I've had with her, and I'm 40 now. Probably mm-hmm. the best relationship that I've had with her ever. And so when I started my Bible study journey, she started hers, and we can call each other now and we can talk about different stories in the Bible. I can accept who she is with in relationship-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I used to judge her about everything she did. I was really bad about judging her with everything she did, but now I have a heart of like discernment. Like I can understand her situation. I'm not going to judge her, because who are we to judge, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what this person needs. We don't know the kind of love they need. We don't know any of that. We grew up, like we've been talking about multiple times on this podcast, like, we had to teach ourselves. We didn't have too much guidance. So she didn't have too much guidance. So what I had to understand is she loved me,
right,
not the way that I thought that she should have.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not for me to decide, because she didn't know. She was learning as she was growing. And that's for a lot of people our age that had parents that had us when they were young. They didn't know.
Right.
They had no idea. So we cannot cast blame on them about a lot of things that happened, because they didn't know any better. And just like me, I ended up leaving my kids with their dad for a while. I was in contact with them, but I wasn't physically there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can I say that what she did to me was worse than what I did to my kids? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't have that guidance. I didn't have that guidance. We all are learning as we grow. So
mm-hmm.
I would say that now that I'm more wise and more mature, and she's grown a lot as well,
mm-hmm.
I have the best relationship that I've ever had with her, and I thank God for it.
That's good. That's good.
Yes.
And that's good.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to segue from the whole, what we've been talking about. Give me a second. My computer locked up. It's still recording. So, I was going to segue. I don't know if you pay attention to, like, what's going on, like, in the sports world, but... Question.
Sports.
Yeah. Let me ask you. You know Cam Newton, right?
Cam Newton. I've definitely heard the name. I definitely know he's like a fashion icon, right?
Yeah. Also, an ex-football player.
Sure. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness, my ass.
All right. So, did you hear the story of this last past weekend? Him getting jumped at his football camp.
Definitely did not hear that. So tell me about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. You know, Cam Newton is, you know what? Let me start off with this.
Why? Start off with why is he an ex-football player? Because he was not. He's not very old, right?
No. He's not. It's just, you know, because the NFL is a business, and it's like when you're done with your contract, and this has been happening a lot more around these times than it did when we were kids. The NFL is now showing more of their business side. When a player's contract is up, you know, and they become a free agent, and they can send their tapes to any team. If a team want to sign them, they'll sign them. Cam Newton, he can still play. Just no team wants to sign him. And there's a lot of things that's into that, like the business, the politics. Prime example, Colin Kaepernick. You know,
right.
And the funny thing about that was a soldier told him, if you want to show like respect, just take a knee. And I honestly agree with that. It's like, you know, when most people pray, they get down on their knees or they're laying down. They're not really standing up, you know. So you get down on your knee for the flag. When a man asks a woman to marry him, he gets down on a knee, you know. But Cam Newton got jumped at a football camp by some coaches. And I had a
clip.
Yeah, by some of the coaches that he hired. I don't know what it was because he's been silent. But right. let me say, NFL players today, like even then, there are modern day titans. I mean, let's just be real. They're super athletes. They're super built. They can run as fast as a car. You know, you get hit by one of them, you're probably going to die. I'm just kidding. You're probably going into a coma. These guys jumped a 6'6", 250-pound dude, and Cam Newton actually headlocked one of the guy and pushed the other guy off of him. Then security finally came and, you know, broke everything up. Now, I think Cam Newton's doing really well of, like, staying quiet. But these guys got on, like, social media and stuff, and it was like, you know, things just start going our way and blah, 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 blah. You know, we could actually glue this into the narcissistic controlling. These coaches wanted things to go a certain way, but Cam, it's his camp. You know, it's his camp, it's his rules, it's his policies, and they wanted to do something different.
Right.
Yeah, and Cam just disagreed. So, right. Yeah, but yeah, NFL, it's a business. I know you knew that. And it's actually
right.
It's actually a nonprofit business, which allows
interesting.
Yeah, which allows college kids, you know, the college can't pay them, but there's a loophole where they can get paid through endorsements. I remember, I don't know if you remember one of my friends said, Cedric Benson.
Right.
I remember talking to him. He was like, "I'm already getting money." When he was playing for Texas,
right?
He was like, you know, we get money for endorsements. You know, he was still playing like Major League Baseball or the minor leagues when he was uh-huh. going his first year at Texas. So he got drafted by the Dodgers, and he would go out and play. And you know, at the time there was really not much social media. We still had each other's numbers, you know.
Right.
And he was telling us, like, you know. He came back to Midland one time when it was Christmas time, because I remember the Midland Shaps, that's when they always have that tournament. Everybody loves to go to that tournament. I forgot what it's called. But it was around Christmas time, and he came back in a freaking Escalade. I remember. I'm like, this guy. And I was like, how you in an Escalade? You didn't even get drafted yet. He's like, I get endorsements, and I get paid for so he was already in the pros of baseball when like minor league when he was like playing college ball. So he was already getting paid. So when he made it to the NFL, same thing. You know, he did great. He made it to the Super Bowl one year. They lost to the Colts. But the same thing happened to him as far as in Cam Newton, same as Colin Kaepernick, same as a lot of these players today. Once they feel like, oh, this person's gotten in like this much trouble, or this person's been injured a lot. Cedric had a issue with like turf toe. He was always injuring his toe. If you ever watched mm-hmm. the games on the NFL, and
They're seen as a liability at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, so that's what people don't understand about the NFL. It's like, well, this person's good. I'm like, well, you know, it's like if you're working at a job and then you do a certain job and you get majorly injured, you know, they're going to move you somewhere else.
Yeah. We don't have the need for you anymore. Let's move you somewhere else. We respect you and what you do, but you're no longer good for this position.
And for sure, God rest his soul, peace and love, the said, you know.
Yes, most definitely.
But yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, man, hey, you know what? I want to thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I honestly, after today and this podcast, I have so many ideas in my head.
Feels good,
that
right?
We should definitely link up together and do more like this.
Yeah,
there's so many topics to discuss within just our lives. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of things that we can talk about that people can relate to on so many different topics. But
right.
I do want to say, if to anybody that's listening, when it comes to attention seeking, if you are the person that is attention seeking, try to look within yourself and see where you can mature and fix yourself. If you are a narcissist, or narcissists usually don't know they're a narcissist. I would say if you are in a narcissistic relationship and you see the signs, get out as fast as you can, because it will ruin you, and you will have to you will have years to try to find who you are again based off of that relationship. So get away from that as fast as you can. Don't let them pity you into, oh, I'm going to kill myself. They're not going to kill themselves. Don't let them make you feel bad for wanting to leave a situation where you need to grow. So always be mindful of yourself, your mental, your heart, your emotion, everything. Like, look out for you, because narcissists, they're definitely real. They will definitely drain you to the point to where you have, like, just the last bit of life left in your body.
That's true.
And then once you get to a point to where you're away from them, like I said, for me, it took years for me to be okay again. And I can still think about who I was when I was trying to get out of that, and think about all the years that it took me to be okay again. And I honestly thank God for going through that experience, because I know what to look for now and not to go through it again. So if anybody ever even thinks that they're in a situation, I'm not going to talk down about anybody or talk bad about anybody, but my line, my messenger box, anything is always open if you want to reach out to me for any kind of guidance, because that situation helped me grow a lot. So yeah, I can definitely speak some life and some positivity into you, and we can grow and we can get away from that. So let's do it.
Let's do it. That's a good word. My sister coming up here saying good words, y'all. You know what I'm saying? That's why I invited her, because I knew. Ladies and gentlemen, so I'm gonna get off here, but before I go, stay on the phone. You want to stay on the phone with me?
Sure.
All right. Before I go, you guys know how I love to end my podcast.
Wait, what's this?
Just listen. Just listen.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm listening.
All right. Nope. I'm letting it sizzle a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the bro code. The bro code. Are you ready for the bro code, sis?
Oh, my gosh. Let's hear it. It better not be no bullshit.
Hey, okay.
If it's bullshit, I'm going to tell you it's bullshit.
Okay, bro code, Article 107. A bro never leaves another bro hanging. Example, besides the obvious health hazards inherited in keeping your arm aloft for an extended period of time, the emotional effect leaving a bro out in the dry in public can be devastating. If you ever
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I don't care if this is attention seeking or not. I don't care. This is going to be, it has to be another podcast so we can talk about the bro code.
No.
Bros is something else. Y'all really kind of piss me off a little bit.
Hey, wait a minute. This is just an article. This is an example of a bro. I never base my podcast on the bro code because it's silly.
Well, we don't have a bro code podcast.
No, check this out. Let me finish the last paragraph.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, if you ever see a bro, even one you don't know, looking around frantically with the paw held high in the air, throw him a bone. You get that, bro? Bone. And hit him up top. Examples. Don't leave a bro hanging. Now, sis, women can be bros too. Now, here's examples of some not leaving a bro hanging while their arm is aloft in the air. A high five. A fist bump.
Period.
Yeah.
Got it.
A fist bump. And then there's the exploring fist bump where somebody doesn't really know what they're doing. Or around the world. You're walking. You see the bro. And you keep walking. You give them a five. And you reach back. Pow.
Bro code, folks.
The bro code. All right.
Don't leave them hanging.
All right. I got one more thing before we go. I wrote this joke.
Better be funny.
You know what? I was talking to Mama the other night, and she said she had tears coming out of her eyes. She was laughing so hard.
Okay, let's hear it. It's worth hearing then.
Okay, so, you know, ladies and gentlemen, now, this can actually be a different topic for a podcast. Why women think men lie a lot, okay? So, that'd be... That'd be an example. So, here's a joke. All right. Everybody says, you know... All right, I got a lady. She says I'm always lying. Okay, I started the joke. I got a lady. She's always saying I'm lying. Why are you always lying? Why are you always this? You know, I see my phone... And she's calling, and I'm like, oh, crap, do I got to answer this right now for real? And if I don't, what am I going to hear if I don't answer? Where are you at? Where are you going to be? Why aren't you answering my phone call? But if I call and she don't answer, I was busy. And, you know, all that
exactly.
Stuff. And then I'll say, hey, I'm over here. No, you ain't, because I got you on, location.
Location.
I got you on location. And I was like, well, I don't want to tell you where I am. It's none of your business. It is the hell. It is my business. Why are you always lying? You always lying to me. I can't stand it. Why are you always lying? And then, you know, you get off the phone. And it's like, golly. It's like, don't they understand? Men grow up not lying. They learn how to lie from their mamas. So it's the woman's fault. Wait a minute. The punchline's not here yet. The man learned to lie from their mamas.
Bullshit.
Example. Say like we're young, okay? All the bills are off, like all the things, utilities, everything's off. Nothing's paid for, except for the phone. But no cable, no water, nothing else like that, okay? Bill collector calls, okay? Ring, 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 ring. And this is way before cell phones and caller ID. Let's say mama says, Michael, Paul, pick up the phone. And if it's a bill collector, tell him I'm not here. Okay. Ring, ring, ring. Hello? Yes. May we speak to your mama? Hold on. Mama, they want to speak.
Are they gonna say, may we speak to your mama?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
That's not what they're going to say.
No. I'm not going to say names. I'm not going to say mama's name. Because I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can make up a name. But they're not going to say, can I speak to your mama?
Well, I'll speak to your mama. All right. Let me get to the punchline then. Okay. All right. So you remember the story of the joke. There's no cell phones. There's no caller ID. There's nothing like that. This is back in the day. Early 90s. Okay. Ring, ring, ring. Oh, yeah. May I speak to Josephine? Okay. Hold on. Mama. Somebody wants to talk to you. Boy, tell them I'm not here. Hello? Yes, may I speak to Josephine? My mama said she ain't here. And they hang up the phone. Boom. It would have been
this is how I This is how I know my mom was older, because that's not even funny.
No, that joke is funny. That joke is funny. You just didn't even, you just kept cutting me off.
That was not funny.
Well, I was rushing the joke.
It's funny to think that it's funny.
No, I was rushing the joke, because the joke really is about why women think their man is a liar, and the punchline is...
I got it.
Women are the real liars because we learned a lie from our mamas. From that
is...
See,
You got a little point there.
All right.
Man, we need to... But I do need to say, in the middle of your joke, that wasn't funny. In the middle of that, you talked about the locations, right? So yeah. That's definitely a topic for another podcast, because do we think that it is healthy to have the location of your partner? Do we think that's healthy? I think that is a whole nother topic.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
And we definitely should discuss it.
That can go actually four different ways.
So that's definitely a great podcast that I think that we should have in the near future.
For sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call it. Alicia, do you want to say bye?
Thank y'all for listening to me ramble on and on and on. I know that I was here and there and there and here, and so... I look forward to having many more podcasts with y'all, so y'all can get to know me a little bit better and listen to my stories, and not attention seeking, but just to bring awareness, just to bring some awareness to some situations. I have grown a lot, and I thank God for my growth, and I am here for people that need to hear what I got to say, and I appreciate you, brother, for bringing me onto this podcast. Maybe we can also get our younger brother to join in on one of these, and we can have a three-way, but y'all cannot double team me, because I'm the only girl now. Y'all cannot do that.
All right, so. I swear that I won't, but I can't talk about Rip, so, you know, he might.
Yeah, because either way, y'all know, like, I'm the big bro, period.
I guess. you the big girl,
but thank y'all for listening. You, brother, for inviting me. It was an honor.
No, thank you for accepting, and I just figured it'd be a great way to actually get this podcast, like, I'm still working on it, it's still, you know, it's brand new, we've got to give it a couple years, but, you know, I'm like, you know, listening to other podcasts, I'm like, they got different guests, and I'm like, I could do that too. You know,
right?
And the first person I thought of was you, because I knew you had stuff on your chest, and I know that you have great stories. I'm not really a great storyteller, but I do like doing this type of stuff. I honestly, like I tell people on the podcast, if anybody ever listens or if I get subscribers, this is straight up my calling. This is something that I love to do. It's not work. Like, I want to interview, like, a lot of people. And I'm not trying to, like, be famous or meet famous people. But if that's the case where I can interview somebody that's, like, a public figure, that's cool. That's great.
Right.
But I want to get to a point where it's like, hey, you ever listen to the Big Moki Show, you know? And that's where I want it to, like.
And that's the thing. And that's what I'm looking forward to being on future podcasts with you, because if that's what you want and that's your calling, then that's what's going to happen. So it's not your will, but God's will be done for sure. So I'm going to every podcast we on talk, y'all are going to hear God be brought up whenever I'm involved. So, like I said, like, it's not your will, God's will be done. We can't force anything, but if it's God's intentions, it's definitely going to happen. So for sure. Yeah.
Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen. And on that note, for real this time, this is Big Moki, a.k.a. Mike Lenz. And speaking on the phone is...
Alicia Dion.
Oh, Lord. She's a mess.
Well, that was my Sunday night slow jam voice. How'd I do?
Alicia Dion. That was pretty good, I guess. Yeah, Sunday night slow jams. Do they still do that back home?
They do.
Oh,
they do.
God. See, I need to get an app or something because, yeah.
Yeah, you're missing out. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Love, live life. Peace.